Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
And I just want to welcome you on this beautiful Sunday morning. Is it raining outside or is it sunny? Sunny, there we go. So on this sunny Sunday morning, and we're going to get into the Word in just a moment. Just want to remind you, as Naomi mentioned, next Sunday we have Olivia's testimony, and it's an incredible story about what happened to that young lady. I don't want to tell you anything about it except make sure that you are here, because it's going to be really touching, really powerful. Use it as a great opportunity to bring someone, and you know, because the Bible does say, as Naomi said to you, it's by the blood of the Lamb and word of our testimony that we have overcome the enemy. And so we really believe in the power of a testimony, and the guys have done such a great job of, you know, speaking to the first responders and, you know, all the people that were involved in that whole story that took place. So come out, it's going to be an awesome time. All right. So last night we ministered on, you know, right now we are in the middle of our Feast of Tabernacles, and even though we are doing it a little differently this year, I'm continuing with our series on the Holy Spirit. This week will be part two of the Holy Spirit. But last night we ministered on light. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the ceremonies that they do is the ceremony of the illuminating of the lights. And it's a really beautiful, powerful ceremony that takes place. But it really represents the one that would come, that would be the light of this world. And that was Jesus. And we had a look at the prophecies of Isaiah and how Jesus fulfilled those prophecies by coming as the light. It's really, really awesome. And I believe it touched a lot of people. And so I encourage you to go and listen to that. Don't forget, our Saturday night services are different to our Sunday morning services. So we encourage you, come out whenever you can. We would love to have you. Also, there's more worship, and it's a more, you know, we're not restricted in any way with time on Saturday nights. So it's a great service. It's wonderful, and I encourage you to come out and partake in it. Thank you. last week, I spoke to you about, we are on the subject, who is the Holy Spirit? And last week, we had a look at the Holy Spirit's role, you know, when it comes to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know that we serve a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit has a very important role in our lives. And this series really is about who is the Holy Spirit, and what does He do? What is He like? What is His role? What are we supposed to do with Him? And all these different questions. And so last week we established that the Holy Spirit would be with us, but also be inside us, that He would come and actually live on the inside of us, which is really powerful. And you know, just to kind of think that God actually comes and lives on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit literally comes and lives on the inside of you, this is an incredible thing. Amen. Can you say amen? Which means that when you want to do something that you shouldn't do, you shouldn't be going like this, can He see me? Because the truth is, He's like in you. So He sees everything you see. He sees everything you do. And we're going to talk in the next few weeks as well about how sensitive He is. And we'll talk more about that as well. But I want you to be aware of the fact that the Holy Spirit is with you the whole time. And He wants to do some things in us. And so let's dive into this morning's message. And as we go along, the Holy Spirit will unfold everything hopefully to you. Now, I believe that this morning's message is really important, because what we want to establish this morning is, what does He do in us? So we know He lives in us. We know that He seals us. We know that now we're born again. Now He comes and lives on the inside of us. What does He actually do on the inside of us? Luke 17, verse number 20 says this. Now when He was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. And this is a powerful statement. It's actually very, very loaded. And, you know, last night I shared with the group that was here that when Jesus was on the earth, He came, and the Bible tells us that He preached a message, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And this is really powerful, because The fact is, if you want to know what at hand means, it means it's like right here. It's like right here. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. And when Jesus was on the earth, I want you to understand that he literally was the kingdom. So when we talk about the kingdom of God being at hand, he was kind of saying this, the kingdom of God, or I am at hand. Are you with me? How do we know that he was the kingdom? Well, it's really simple. Because everywhere that Jesus went, you could see the manifestations or evidence of the kingdom of heaven at hand. In other words, everywhere that Jesus went, you would see the love of God poured out. Everywhere that Jesus went, you would see the manifest power of God poured out. You would see miracles. You would see people's lives getting changed. You would see cities get turned inside out, upside down by one individual. And that was Jesus. Why? Because the kingdom of God was now at hand. It was currently with them. And it was in the form of the Messiah. Isn't that incredible? But when Jesus was asked, where's the kingdom? He makes a statement. He says in verse 21, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, the day would come where the kingdom of God will no longer be something that we ask for, but it will actually be something that is present on the inside of us. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that dwelled in Jesus. You all believe that, right? So if that's a fact, and Jesus represented the kingdom, was the kingdom, when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, the kingdom of God is where? It's inside you. It's present in you. Now, when we talk about what the kingdom's meant to do inside you, we can talk about a whole lot of stuff, and we will. But what I want to talk about, what does that mean for you and I? How does that affect us individually? What does the kingdom, what does the Holy Spirit's work on the inside of us actually do for you and I? And this is a really important question. And so let's go a little bit deeper, because actually the Bible refers to this as a mystery. If we go to Colossians 1 verse 26, Colossians 1 verse 26, this is what it says. Are you guys okay? Don't you just love God's word? Man, I've already preached this, and I can't wait to preach it. Man, I just love God, you know, and I love his word. You know, and I'm so thankful to you guys, because I have to say that week after week, I'm amazed at how you guys are so responsive to the word. And I can see that the majority are like really wanting to learn more and know God more. And I just, as a pastor, it's such an honor for me. So I thank you for it. Colossians 1:26 says this, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is so powerful. We understand that the kingdom is present on the inside of us. We also understand that it's the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, that dwells on the inside of us. The Bible describes this as a mystery which was hidden before. And you must understand the reason why it was hidden before was because there was a veil. There was no way that they could have fellowship and communion with God the way that you and I can. There's a mystery that's been revealed here, and the mystery is that now we have the Christ living on the inside of us, or the Spirit of God actually living on the inside of us. This is the only way to say it is, this is a great mystery. This is incredible that God would go to the extent of sending his own Son to die on the cross so that you and I could be restored with him, and so that our very nature could begin to be transformed. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to do a work on the inside of you and I. Because the reality is that on the inside of us, or really us as human beings, consist of a tripod being. You are a tripod being. In other words, you are a body, you are a soul, and you are a spirit. And the Bible actually clears this up for us. How many of you know the Bible is our final authority? The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, the writer wants you to understand that you are a tripod being. You consist of a spirit, a soul, and a body. Most people, or many people, don't believe that. Many people believe that you only compromise, or you only have a soul and a body. In other words, you have your outer shell, which is your body, your physical makeup, what you see and what you touch physically, and you can like hit yourself, and that's your body. Are you all with me? Your soul is your emotions and your feelings, your thoughts, your will, your intellect. This is the part that really, is you. This is the part that when no one's listening, you busy talking to yourself, and it's your inner thoughts, it's all your emotions and your feelings and everything going on with you. That's your soul. But you see, there is also another part, especially to the believer. Because when we get born again, how many of you know our spirit also becomes born again? You have an inner part. There's a part on the inside of you that is not your soul, that is not your body, which is your spirit. And when you get born again, your spirit comes alive. Understand something. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about your spirit. What is your spirit? Your spirit really is the part of you that is like a conscience. It's like your intuition. This is the part that has fellowship with God. Let me say that again. This is the part that connects with the Holy Spirit. When you get born again, the Spirit of God comes and dwells on the inside of you in your spirit. The two merge together, and your spirit connects with the Holy Spirit. The problem is that you have the soul, and the soul, unfortunately, is the part that tends to respond more to the things of this world or to the flesh, the things that we feel like, our desires, our passions, all of that stuff. So what happens is the spirit, which is the part where God has connected with you, is kind of like not being given so much attention, whereas the soul, the part that's your mind and your emotions and your feelings, is being driven and controlled primarily by the flesh or your body. Do you understand me? All right, I'm trying to make this as easy to understand as possible. And this is very, very important. Because you see, what happens is, or what we need to understand is, let me explain it to you like this. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, the Bible tells us that God created Adam and Eve. And the Bible says he created Adam in the image and likeness of God. So in other words, when God created Adam, he had a likeness. He had a nature. He was like God. But when he fell, his nature changed. And how many of you know when Adam fell, man began to die right away? Until the fall, Adam was alive. You see, when you get born again, you are like Adam. You begin to live. You are no longer dead. You are now alive. You don't think in the natural, your flesh is going to fall away, but that doesn't matter. The fact is that you have now been born again and will live forever. Isn't that awesome? But you must understand that Jesus knew exactly what he was saying when he said you'll be born again, because when you're born again, you are like an infant and you have to develop and you have to grow and you have to learn. Are you with me? So you need to understand that your nature is still childlike. And what happens is your soul is still the part of you that's influenced very heavily, which is normal, by the flesh, by what we see, by what we feel. Are you with me? All right. So what's the solution? How do we begin to respond more to the Spirit? You see, the problem is that part, the part where God is not the part that is generally driving us, because it's unnatural for us. Whereas the soul, the mind, the will, the intellect is naturally driven by the flesh. We always look outwardly for responses to deal with everything that we're going through. Where what God wants us to do is He wants us to look inwardly. Listen to me. We have a tendency to want to look up for the answer. The truth is, the answer is in you if you have the Spirit of God. Okay, now watch this. Let's go to Galatians 5:17. Galatians 5:17. This will put it into perspective. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You see, when you get born again, you begin to desire to do what's right. Please, everybody, put their hands up and say, that's me. Okay? When you don't do that, you are what is called a bad Christian. Okay? All right. Okay. So what's happening is we understand that there is a war going on between the flesh and the Spirit, and that war is in the soul. That's where it's taking place. And so we have to learn what to do. What should we do? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions. How do we do this? Go to the next verse, Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, now watch this, because I think when we read about this, we kind of read over this next part. This next part is so important. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let me rephrase that for you, because I'm going to shock you. What it's actually saying is this. If it's saying, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, that means that if you are not led by the Spirit, you are under the law. Let me say that again. If you are not being led by the Spirit, you are under the law. This is powerful. You see, our interpretation of law and grace sometimes gets a little bit clouded. Whereas here, he actually makes it really easy to understand. Remember what I said. The Spirit and the flesh are at war with one another. The war is taking place in the soul. The question is, what part are you submitting yourself? Are you seeking the Lord? If you are seeking the Lord, if you are led by the Spirit, the Bible tells us that you are not under the law. Whereas if you are responding primarily to the flesh and to the soul, to the flesh and to the body, what happens is you are actually under the law, wanting to do the right thing. Now let's go further, because you'll understand that in just a moment. I want to drop a bomb on you so that we can all get up and shout. Is that okay? You see, God's intention was always for you and I to be in relationship with Him. How many of you know that God created man to be in relationship with Him? He sent His Son to die so that you and I could once again be in relationship with Him. His Holy Spirit, His presence, His Spirit lives now on the inside of you, and you must understand that you have to change. You can't be the same as the way you were, because the way you were dying. So he says this. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, what are the works of the flesh? Now, the works of the flesh, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. In other words, he's given you a list, but there's lots more. These are the works of the flesh, of which I tell you beforehand just as I also told you in times past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, if you're always going to respond to the fallen nature, to the fleshly nature, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. And as a Christian, if you are desiring to not do these things, but you are not being led by the Spirit, you are under the law and you are trying to do it on your own. And when you try and do it on your own, I have news for you. You can't. You can't. They mock me. They go, can't. They really do. They mock me. It's terrible because of my awesome, funny accent. Amen. All right. And then he says this, watch this. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let's stop there. I want you to see these attributes are absolutely perfect. These attributes are absolutely beautiful. And I've got to be honest with you that I don't always sound like those attributes. But who do those attributes sound like? They sound like Jesus. They sound like God. Those are His attributes. Those are His nature. Are you with me? That describes God. That describes Jesus. And what the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, you need to become like that. The Father says, I've sent my Son to die and to give you life, and He's going to live in you, and He's going to begin to do a work in you. The work He's going to begin to do is He's going to begin to change you. How's He going to change you? He's going to begin to change your nature. And so your nature begins to change and begins to become more and more and more like His. But how? Look at what he ends with. He ends with this. He says, against such there is no law. Against what? Against love, against joy, against peace, against long suffering, against kindness. There is no law. There is no law. And everybody's thinking like, man, how do I do this? This is so difficult. No, it's not. It's not difficult at all. Let's quickly go to 2 Corinthians 3:17, and then we'll just go for it. Amen. Can you tell I'm excited? Amen. Now watch. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The word liberty means freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the law. You see, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You see, the word glory is very important here, because the word glory is the word doxa in the Greek. And what glory really means is it means like everything that God is. It means His splendor, His majesty. It means everything that He is, but it also means His nature. It means His character. Who God really, really is. You see, and what begins to happen is, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And when we go to the Spirit of the Lord, and we behold the glory of the Lord, who God really is, we are being transformed into the same image. We begin to be changed. How? From glory to glory. What does that mean? That means that when you go to God, when you go to the Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside of you, when you begin to seek the Holy Spirit, you will begin to change. Your nature will begin to change. You will begin to sound like God. You will begin to act like God. You will begin to do things that God does. Are you with me? Listen to me. If you hang around somebody a lot, what begins to happen to you is you begin to sound like them. I've watched them, especially the young people. They hang around with their friends and suddenly they laugh like their friend. They begin to hang around with them and now all of a sudden even their food preferences change. They begin to walk like their friend. Listen to me. My daughter grew up when she was 4 months old when we moved to the United States. Naomi and I speak an entirely different language called Afrikaans. And we never taught my daughter how to speak Afrikaans. We always wanted it to be our secret language, that we would be able to say things and she wouldn't understand us. And it was awesome until she was about 4.5. And then she, all of a sudden, being around us, began to understand what we were saying, began to put it together. Now she speaks fluent Afrikaans. She understands the language perfectly. She has a really weird accent, but she speaks it really well. The point is, being around us began to change her, began to change how she could understand things, began to change how she could see things. Now, this is really interesting. That's what happens to you when you are led by the Spirit. You begin to change. Put that scripture up, please, for me again. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, we are changing constantly, but there's only one way to do it. How do we do it? Those who are led by the Spirit are not under the law. In other words, it has to be something that you desire. You see, I'm not even asking you not to sin, although sin is bad. What I'm asking you is to make a decision. The Holy Spirit lives inside you, and you're the one who has to choose whether you will be led by Him or not. That's the choice. That's why He says, these are the works of the flesh. And then He says, but these are the fruits of the Spirit. This is what you'll begin to see in your life when you follow Him, when you are led by Him. That's what will happen. But what happens to us is we think we can do it in our own strength. We think we can study the Word and become knowledgeable, and it's good to do that. But unless you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and are not led by Him, you are under the law. And there is no freedom, there's no grace, there's nothing. You're trying to do it in your own strength. You cannot. Pastor, how do I overcome? You have to go to the Holy Spirit. You have to go to your Maker. You have to go to Him and seek Him. And listen, the day will come where He will give you the strength to overcome everything you face. He's the one who does the work. He's the one who changes you. You're not under the law. You see, Jesus sent His Son. The veil was torn. In the Old Testament, they couldn't have the relationship and intimacy with God that you and I can. We are so privileged. So you are faced with a choice. Do you want to be led by Him? Or do you want to try and do it? Because most Christians want to do what's right. Do you want to do it on your own? On your own, I have news for you. You will struggle forever. And you will play what I call yo-yo Christianity. You're up one day, down the next. Feeling guilty, feeling bad, feeling like you can't do it. Whereas if you are led by the Spirit, you understand that you are not under the law. And even though, like Paul says, sin is present in me, he knew who he followed and who his desire was after. He said, listen, even though I do the thing I don't want to do, and the thing I don't want to do, I do. He said, but I'll never use that as an excuse. Because my desire is Him. He's my desire. If you look at the writers of the New Testament, there is one thing evident in every single one of the way that they write. And that is that every one of them had such a deep inner desire to be close to God and to serve Him and to follow Him. They gave their lives for it. We complain about whether we can sin or not. Really? We want to argue about whether we should be allowed to sin or not? It doesn't make any sense. We are not a people that are desperate for God the way they were. We have to become just like they were, desperate for God. He lives inside you and I. What an honor, what a privilege we have that we can go into our room, shut the door, and begin to cry out to Him, begin to seek Him with all of our heart, begin to have a desire to have fellowship with Him. And when you do that, when you pursue Him, everybody's at a different place. Everybody's at a different, some people pray for hours, some people just pray for minutes, but the fact is, make room for Him in your life. That's the only way He'll begin to change you, begin to transform you. One of the first things the Holy Spirit wants to do before He can manifest outwardly is begin to manifest inwardly and transform the nature that we have. Thank you, Adam. Are you with me? Are you guys all okay this morning in Vero Beach? Is this making sense? Are you getting this morning? And I'm just going through all my notes here. Let's go back to Colossians 1, verse 26. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. And then He says this, and I love this, and I left this for now. The hope of glory. Now that can mean so much, but one thing that it definitely does mean is that because Christ is in us, there is a changing that will begin to take place. And His glory, His reputation, who He is, begins to change you. And your glory, your reputation, your inner person, who you are, begins to become more and more and more like Him. That's why the Bible says the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness, joy, and peace. The kingdom of God, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you begins to transform you, and you begin to change, and you begin to be a person with peace, joy, all those different things. But the Bible is so clear that the ones who will begin to understand this are those who are led by the Spirit. That is a choice, because you can either be led by your spirit, by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, on the inside of you, or you can be led by the flesh that's pulling at your soul, desiring for you to do and fulfill more of those things. When God is saying, listen, I have so much in store for you. Will you follow me? And so the Holy Spirit is evident in you, wanting to transform you, wanting to change you. Because that's what we all desire. We all desire joy. We all desire peace. We all desire love. Let's be honest. Psalm 91. You see, the psalmist understood this, and especially David. Even though they had a far lesser glory than what we have in the New Testament, it's so evident that God loved David, not because David was perfect, but because no matter what, David chose to seek Him. David chose to go after God, even when he made the worst kinds of mistakes. Listen, he was an adulterer and a murderer, guys. But he was also, the Bible describes, as a man after God's own heart. That's why he's described that way, because he would always seek the Lord. He would always trust God, even when he messed up. He chose to be led by God. The Bible says in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And we can read on and on and on. The fact of the matter is that It's He who dwells in the secret place. You see, there is an inner life with the Holy Spirit that is required for you and I. In other words, what that means is when you go into your room and you want to spend time with God, that you make time to not only read the Word, but to actually spend time with Him because He is with you. Speak to Him. And sometimes don't speak at all, because He might have some things He wants to say to you. But you're so busy talking, how are you going to hear Him say anything? So give Him the opportunity to speak. And He will speak. And He will begin to change you. Even last week, after last week's message, where I made you guys so aware of the fact that the Holy Spirit actually lives in you, I was hearing from people saying that during the week they've become so more conscious of the fact that God is actually with them, and it began to make them respond differently. I know that it was like that for me last week. Now I want you to know that not only is He living in you to be your friend, to be your helper, but He's actually in you, busy changing you. Well, how do I become a better Christian? Just follow the Holy Spirit. Just listen to Him. Just be led by Him. Listen, when you're about to do something you shouldn't, if you've decided to follow Him, if you've decided to be led by Him, I want you to know that just before you're about to do that thing you shouldn't do, He's going to let you know. Oh, He'll let you know. When you drive and you overtake someone and you're about to stick your hand out the car window, He'll let you know. Yeah, amen. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is, yes, your helper, your best friend, but He's also there to change you so that you can become so useful to God. God wants to have fellowship with you, but sin is present in you. And so we must begin to hate those things. But instead of fighting against everything, rather just surrender to Him. And as you surrender to Him, He'll begin to reveal Himself to you. The only one who can reveal Jesus to you is the Holy Spirit. And so I hope that this morning has encouraged you. Because the truth is that it's not that difficult. It's your choice. It's my choice. And I don't know about you, but this morning, I choose to be led by the Holy Spirit. I choose to be led by Him. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.